Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we'll discuss homosexuality, specifically the book Gay Marriage, with its subtitle, Why Gay Marriage is Good for Gays, Good for Straights, and Good for America. On April 1st, last week, while we were celebrating National Atheist Day, the Brookings Institution hosted John Rausch, the author of Gay Marriage. But first, before we look at that book, let me invite you to Denver Bible Church this Sunday for our Easter morning service as we look at the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is the evidence? The Bible defines faith as evidence. If there's no evidence for something, then don't believe it. If there is evidence, then weigh the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Sunday afternoon, you can go with Denver Bible Church to see Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, at 350, the 350 showing at Wadsworth and Bowles. That's at the Colorado Cinemas Theater. That's Sunday afternoon at 350 at the theater just east of Wadsworth on Bowles. Come on out. We'll participate, watch the movie together, and then we'll go out for coffee and talk at a local Denny's. You can buy your tickets in advance online. Just Google Colorado Cinemas or get your tickets right there at the box office. Now, the book, Gay Marriage, the author John Rausch claims that gay marriage is good for America, good for homosexuals and heterosexuals, and therefore the underlying principle is that the homosexual lifestyle is healthy and good, and so he recommends that we take the next step and embrace homosexual marriage. Here's a question I'd like to ask the author of this book. In fact, it's asking for a concession. I'd like to ask him right off the bat for a concession, but I will concede something. As a right-wing Christian, I will concede that if homosexuality is good, then we Christians should not oppose gay marriage. If homosexuality is good, then we Christians should not oppose gay marriage. But my question for John Rausch, the author of Gay Marriage, is this: will you concede the reciprocal point that if homosexuality is wrong, then you should oppose gay marriage? What do you think, John?
I think that what this is really about is whether marriage is good, and I think marriage is good for everybody. That's really the point I'm out to prove.
Okay, could
the
we
behavior's
stop?
Going to be there. The
All
question
right.
is, could do we... you want folks to be married or unmarried? And I think marriage ought to be
okay.
the standard for everybody.
All right, can we stop right there?
Okay.
I asked you for a concession, and you made a statement, marriage is good for everyone. So I'd like to address both those points. First, would you agree to this concession? Would you concede that if homosexuality is wrong, then you should oppose gay marriage?
No.
Okay, and now to your point, you said that marriage is good for everyone. How about for a father and his daughter for incest? Should that be legal?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so your primary principle, you've agreed, is not absolutely true. And my straightforward concession, it seems you should logically be able to make this concession.
Well, it's a great set of questions.
All right.
I don't know if you're the brightest talk show audience host in the country, but you've got to be one of the brightest hosts.
Well, hey, John.
Let me try to do my best to explain why I gave you the answers I just did.
Okay.
If you ask me if heterosexuality were a bad thing, would I oppose heterosexual marriage? I'd give the same answer. I'd say no. I'd say whether heterosexuality is good or bad, or homosexuality is good or bad, the answer has to be, assuming it's going to be out there and assuming it's going to be happening, good or bad, marriage is the best way to keep people and society out of trouble and to keep these relationships steady and firm and secure and not have the things that go on when you have people outside of wedlock.
Okay, now, so that's your basic position, and I'd like to challenge that because you've already admitted that there's some holes in your position. Consider if there are people, let's say, you know, rape will always be with us. Incest will always be with us. Bestiality, where human beings have sex with animals and bring diseases from the animal kingdom, like HIV or syphilis or gonorrhea, into the human blood supply. These destructive behaviors will always be with us. That's not a good argument for saying we should decriminalize these behaviors or codify them in an institution like marriage. So I want to restate my concession, John, and ask you to reconsider the one I'm trying to get from you. Here's my concession. If homosexuality is good, then we Christians should not oppose gay marriage. I'm making that concession to you.
Now, well, let me.
I want to ask you again to reconsider. Don't you agree, at least intellectually, if homosexuality is wrong, then you should oppose gay marriage?
As I said, my answer would be the same for heterosexuality and homosexuality. We don't get our first choice in the world. We don't, and it would not be a good idea if heterosexuality were wrong to say heterosexuals should not be able to get married.
Well, of course it would.
The consequence would be a lot more disease, crime, instability, and unhappiness.
Well, let me tell you why. Because incest is wrong.
Okay, let me talk about that.
And so incest, we should not allow a father and a daughter to marry because it's destructive.
Correct. Let me talk about that for a minute. I welcome that. I'm not one of those people who will say that it's bigoted to bring up that issue at all.
Well, how could it be?
What we're asking for here, gay Americans, and why I think it benefits society, is not the opportunity to marry anyone that we love or anything we love or everyone we love, incest, polygamy, what have you. None of those things are socially beneficial. All we're asking for is what is socially beneficial, which is the opportunity to marry someone we love, to make that lifelong commitment to one other person. And that's where you get the benefits to society. With incest, you completely disrupt the dynamic of family because you introduce sexual predation into the family, the fear that a child might be raised as being groomed as a spouse for the adult, or even worse.
Okay, Jonathan. All right, now I hear that, and we conservative Christians, we believe that homosexuality is inherently predatory. And let me give you an example of how.
Okay.
All right? In a homosexual society, you cannot have the protections of a heterosexual society when you're in places of relative privacy, like when you're in a dressing room at a store or a restroom or a locker room or taking showers at a school. Because what we have done is protected women, for example, from the leering eyes of men. We've protected the privacy rights of individuals from being the target of sexual interest. And when a society embraces homosexuality, then the coach of the boys' wrestling team very well may be a homosexual, and he's now in the locker room. If he's on the college team, he's in the showers with the guys, and that's inappropriate because there's no way to protect the privacy that we each should have as human beings.
Well, if that's what worries you, it does not worry me. I think people ought to be punished if they misbehave, but if they're good scoutmasters or coaches, whether they're gay or straight, they ought to be allowed to do it. But
all right, wait. Let's test that.
Can you
Jonathan,
wait for just a minute? I'll finish my point and then go right ahead.
If they don't misbehave.
But if that's what worries you, your solution is separate locker rooms. It's not to ban gay marriage. If you're worried about misconduct by gay people or by straight people, marriage is the solution, not the problem.
Okay, so if they don't misbehave, so then if we have a male coach of a high school basketball, female basketball team, if he doesn't misbehave, he could be in the girls' locker room?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Right, because why? Why should a male not be welcomed into a female locker room? Why?
Well, because I think there you have 93% of the population is heterosexual, and it makes sense to make rules for that. But I don't see any practical way that you could say no heterosexuals in the locker room. But listen, I'll repeat my point. What I said is that the solution to your problem, if that is a problem, would be to say, okay, no homosexuals in the locker room, not banning marriage.
But you're saying that incest, you're assuming that the parents would be sexual predators to kids in a household where there's incest or where they might advocate incest. The guy who was just killed his kids in California, he had a child by one of his own daughters. And this kind of despicable behavior has been going on for at least 4,000 years. And there are people who advocate polygamy, people who advocate sex with animals. That you only have to go as far as the publisher of Hustler, Larry Flint, to see advocating sex with animals, sex with your own children. So when we break down these moral boundaries, there's no logical place to stop.
No, no, we're doing the opposite. We are shoring up those moral boundaries if we go with same-sex marriage, because we're saying we support the principle of monogamy, that everybody ought to have the opportunity to find one person out there other than their mother, but one person, and marry them for life, make that noble commitment, and settle down and make a home. You have the choice of marrying any of 3 billion people minus your mother and your father and your siblings. I have the choice of marrying 0 people.
All
right. The right number is 1, not 2, not 3, but 0 is the worst number.
All right, so you just said that you're a homosexual.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a long-term partner?
Yes.
Okay, could you just quickly, for the sake of the audience, we've mentioned this, and you could maybe give us firsthand insight. After interviews with a number of homosexuals in the last 13 years from doing the show, we've observed that a typical homosexual partner, long-term, the individuals in that relationship stop having physical sexual relations after a period of time. Could you, first-hand account, could you say that's true in your case?
I am certainly not going to get into a discussion of my personal or sexual life on the radio, but if you want to go out with me for a drink when I'm in Denver,
no,
I'd be
Jonathan,
happy to,
that's
to
not,
chat
I'm
with
asking,
you about it.
I'm asking if you can confirm, okay, not you, but can you confirm generally what we've heard from talking to homosexuals, that in a homosexual long-term relationship, the sexual behavior tends to stop after a time, and then it becomes more platonic?
I don't know about stop, but here's what I'd say about that, something one of my old friends told me. It's an old saying, but I think there's something to it. And he was, by the way, talking about straights, but I think it's universal. He said, if you get a jar and put it by your bed when you're first married, and you put a jelly bean into the jar every time you have sex, and then after the first year, if you take a jelly bean out of the jar every time you have sex, he said, you will never eat all of those jelly beans.
Well, he
so
obviously.
I think that's a pattern of marriage.
Well, hey, Jonathan, that's a foreign concept from my marriage, I'll tell you that. Heterosexual marriages I'm only 45 years old, but I've talked to people who are in their 70s, 80s, and they say that the joys of sex continue unabated. In fact, it gets better with age in the heterosexual community, and it's my observation, and since you're dancing around the issue, I'm going to take this as an unwilling confirmation that long-term homosexual male partners stop having physical relations after a time.
Well, that is false, and you certainly, sir, you have no business taking my answer as confirmation. That's putting words in my mouth.
All right.
Well,
I'll
ask you not to do that.
All right. You just said it's false, but you wouldn't confirm in your own relationship.
I don't want to talk about what goes on in my bedroom, and I'm sure you don't either.
All right. Well,
let me just make the general point here, if you'll allow me.
Yeah, go ahead.
That part of what makes marriage so special and so valuable to society is it creates a long-term bond that may begin with sexuality but extends to a much deeper kind of trust, and it turns that love into something much more permanent. That's why society depends on it, and that's why straight couples, whether or not they're sexually active or engaged or do it every night or once a month, we don't care about that as a society. What we care about is their being there for each other, supporting each other, so society doesn't have to.
All right. Hey, Jonathan. Jonathan Rauch, the book is Gay Marriage, Why It Is Good for Gays, Good for Straights, and Good for America. And of course, you can get that at any online bookstore, Amazon.com. Jonathan, let me, in the interest of my own intellectual honesty, I want to expand my concession and try to get one from you.
Okay.
If heterosexuality is wrong, then marriage is wrong. Then heterosexual marriage is wrong. And if homosexuality is good, then we Christians should not oppose gay marriage. Can I get you to concede that if homosexuality is wrong, then you should oppose gay marriage?
Well, no, and I also don't concede that if heterosexuality is wrong, I should oppose heterosexual
marriage. So that right and wrong is not especially compelling to you?
Oh, I think this is an issue about what you do to get people to form long-term commitments. The question isn't whether I approve or disapprove of the particular kind of sex that's going on. The question is, what's my first choice in given the world as it is, that homosexuality exists and heterosexuality? I want those things clasped into marriage.
All right, so, but again, so you're saying...
This isn't about, you know...
Right and wrong. This isn't about... So to you, social policy is not about right and wrong.
Oh, well, social policy certainly is about right and wrong.
Okay, so then...
But if you think that the problem is that homosexuality is wrong or heterosexuality is wrong, then you should be talking about making homosexuality or heterosexuality illegal.
We shouldn't be talking about making marriage illegal. We are. Homosexuality was a crime for the last 3,500 years, since Moses at least, and our founding fathers, it was a crime in all 13 colonies, and until the last few decades, it was a crime. And, you know, heterosexuality leads to life. Homosexuality leads to death. So there's a reason we believe it's destructive, and if you love your neighbor, you will tell him that it is a bad lifestyle because it will hurt you.
Well, you know, I always wonder, what are gay people supposed to do? I mean,
stop.
If we're just misbehaving heterosexuals and we're just fighting our own instincts and we really want to marry the opposite sex,
yeah.
Well, that's one point of view, but I can assure you that gay people actually do exist. And
well,
I'm
sure they do.
Relationships and marrying in the opposite sex are
Jonathan,
not an option for me any more than same-sex relationships are for you.
Jonathan, there's all kinds of destructive behaviors in people who are addicted and obsessed with destructive behaviors. That doesn't mean we should ignore the fundamental question of whether the behavior is good or bad, right or wrong, and then regulate it. First, we need to determine. And since you cannot make that logical concession, it's really difficult for us to come to even an understanding of our different positions, because you're saying, I don't care if it's wrong, it should still be legal.
No, I'm not saying I don't care if it's wrong. I'm saying marriage is not the proper instrument for that. If you think that this is conduct that is harmful and should be and hurts other people,
yeah.
I disagree, of course, profoundly. But
right.
You should be regulating the conduct, not the marriage.
That's what the world did that mostly for 3,500 years. Certainly Judeo-Christian culture, heritage law, homosexuality was outlawed. Until the last few decades, it's been decriminalized. And as a result, in America, we've seen the tortured deaths of tens of thousands of homosexuals because it's a destructive lifestyle. Suicide is epidemic in the homosexual community. Murder is epidemic. Drug abuse, domestic violence, far beyond what you find in the heterosexual community. And heterosexuals are basket cases today.
Well, I think you would find that if you were to make it illegal for heterosexuals ever to marry or settle down, or in many states
right.
even have an open relationship,
right,
I think
right.
you'd find a lot more crime, disease, and suicide.
Well, you're right. And our argument is that heterosexuality is good, and it leads to life, and the marriage bed is undefiled. It's good. Whereas homosexuality leads to death. It's unnatural. It's condemned by God. And it should be recriminalized.
Oh, recriminalized?
Yeah.
That's going pretty far. So people should be put in jail?
They should be. However the government punishes homosexuality. But as if we go back to the time of Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, and let's take their laws where they had homosexuality as a crime, and they did not have epidemics of young teenagers killing themselves over their sexuality. That's happened when we've begun to accept homosexuality.
Well, actually, they had a lot of crime, and they had a lot of out-of-wedlock pregnancy
and all kinds of problems. Well, a lot,
Those problems
is vague, Jonathan. They didn't have anything like the epidemic. In the last 20 years, we've had as many as 1 million babies born in a year out of wedlock. We've had epidemics of sexually transmitted diseases far beyond what recent history has been acquainted with.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I believe that the reason that a lot of that is happening, certainly the out-of-wedlock births, one out of every three American children is now born out of wedlock. And a lot of our problems with poverty and crime go back to that. A lot of the problems with sexually transmitted diseases, and certainly in the gay world as well as in the straight world, have to do with the fact that marriage is either banned or doesn't exist. But marriage is the solution to these problems, and we all know that.
All right.
We all know if people get married, they settle down, they behave better, they function better, they're happier, they're healthier. That's why we value marriage.
And so to talk about that, you know, there's a huge difference between the sexual behaviors of male homosexuals and female lesbians. You agree with that?
There is certainly difference. I don't know how huge it is.
Oh, you don't think it's huge? You think the average lesbian will have anonymous sex with a dozen partners in a year? Anonymously?
Lesbians are clearly much less sexually active
than either
straight men
or
gay men.
Lesbians tend to be much more monogamous, and they want a relationship. Gay bars will have back rooms where you could have sex in the dark anonymously. And lesbians, there's no counterpart to that in the lesbian popular culture.
Correct.
Because men and women are different. And men, you know, women, God made women so that they want commitment, security in a relationship in order to have sex. That's what women want. They want love to have sex. Now, we break women, so they're willing to settle for less, but that's what they really want. Men, they just want a place. Give a man a place to have sex and he'll have sex. So that's why you have homosexuals have had hundreds or more than 1,000 anonymous partners in the course of a career, because men and women are different. And so if you take women out of the sexual equation, and then men, we're out of control as men, and you allow men to sexually gratify one another and it becomes acceptable, and you have teenagers then who've had 100 partners before they're 20 years old.
You know, most of the men I know, they're actually pretty decent, civilized, regular people like you and me, and they also want things like family and home and relationship and a job and a career. So I think you're talking about a few people at the margins, but if you're right, shouldn't at least lesbians be allowed to marry?
No, because homosexuality leads to death, even among lesbians. The rates of alcoholism, you know this, drug abuse, suicide, domestic violence is far exceeds the heterosexual community, and the heterosexual community is broken.
Okay, so if you find a group of people and they're having social problems, which marriage would help them fix, you want to deny that to them? That seems to me a little bit vengeful. I mean, you ought to say to these folks, look, we're going to help you build a better, more productive, more settled life, and marriage is how you do that in all society.
All right, well, Jonathan, what I think you're doing to them is giving them a false sense of security, a false assurance that because we accept you, now your behavior will be positive and healthy. But the more you accept people who are destroying themselves, the more insidious it becomes, because their depression, now everyone accepts me even though I'm perverse, even though I'm filthy, even though I'm doing things. Let me ask you a question. If you're not about your sex life, but about your family life, if you sound young, assuming your parents are still alive and they accept you, have you kissed your partner in front of your dad?
I am. As I told you earlier, I'm not going to go there.
No, I'm not asking.
About me
I'm not
and my
asking.
Personal life I, and my
I,
parents.
I, Thanksgiving dinner, I give my wife a smooch in front of Pops. And I'm asking if you, an out of the closet, open homosexual activist, if you've kissed your partner in front of your father.
I'm glad you volunteered that information, but you know this is just too personal
all
to be getting into.
Well, Jonathan,
I said I'd
okay.
love to go out for a drink with you, and I'll tell you all about the intimate details of my family life.
All right,
but
well,
now
here,
is not
Jonathan,
the place.
Here's what I.
What's
think.
Your point?
Here's my point. My point is that the evidence that homosexuality is unnatural, perverse, and unhealthy is overwhelming, and the only way you can get to the point of advocating gay marriage is if you want to ignore whether it's right or wrong, because your own conscience tells you you will not behave that way in front of your mother and your father because it's shameful.
Oh, Michael's very much a member of my family. So
I'm sure, but I'm saying that simple natural human behaviors of showing affection by giving a kiss to one another is virtually unknown in the homosexual community in front of parents who are members of PFLAG.
Oh, that's not true.
We have homosexuals in our family for decades. Their parents and grandparents accept them, and they don't smooch at our Thanksgiving dinners. Why don't they?
Well, I don't. That's not the case in my experience at all. But I want to go back to something you said on the way there, which is you talked about the culture of death and perverse and so on. No, I think what's deadly and depressing and what's perverse is the culture of non-marriage. And I think if this country wants to get out of that culture and get more people married, it needs to send a clear signal that marriage is better than non-marriage, and that that's something that we allow and encourage and expect, that everybody will make that commitment to another person. I think that's something that I think the conservatives really ought to be for and not against.
You know, it's so easy to take something that's destructive and couch it in terms of compassion and love. It's so easy to do that, whether it's killing Jews or owning blacks or raping women. You could take something that's destructive, and if you ignore the fact that it's wrong, you can say, don't you know it's better to use a condom when you rape a woman? Because you can give her an STD, you could give her AIDS and kill her. You could make her pregnant. So before you rape a woman, be compassionate, be caring, and use a condom.
I'm kind of missing you on this one, Bob. I'm not quite getting what you're getting at.
Well, if you ignore whether something is right or wrong and you just go to couching it in terms of love and compassion, you could make the most wicked things seem like they're kind.
Look, I realize I'm never going to be able to persuade you that homosexuality is natural, right, and necessary for homosexuals, which is a small group of the population that just are the way we are. But I know that we fundamentally disagree with on that.
All right.
So
I
think we could run around that table chasing each other for hours.
Well, you're right,
but
Jonathan.
What I'd like to persuade you of.
Jonathan, I want to announce your book and the website because we're almost out of time.
Okay.
But Gay Marriage is the title of the book. You can get it at Amazon.com. The website, the Brookings Institution at brookings.edu. You can read more and get more links about Jonathan Rauch there and his book. And Jonathan, real quickly, I think you're right. We're not going to convince each other right now. Hopefully the audience will side one way or another. But let me ask you this. What is the basis of your principles? What is the absolute authority? How do you believe in absolute right and wrong, absolute morality?
Gosh, that's a question we could go on for hours.
Well,
I do. I think there's a right and wrong, absolutely.
Okay, so you believe in absolute right and absolute wrong.
Sure.
Okay.
I just don't think I always know for sure what it is.
Well, right. We're not infallible. And by the way, you're one of the first homosexuals I've interviewed that said I believe in absolute right and wrong. So I think you're a minority in your community. But you're right. There is an absolute right.
I can't
speak
for others, but
you're right.
I think there's a right and wrong, and I try to live as decent and right a life as I possibly can.
Well,
I know you do, too.
Yeah, you're right. There is an absolute right and wrong. And so I'd like you to reconsider the concession I asked for. If homosexuality is wrong, then Jonathan Rauch should oppose gay marriage. Jonathan, we're out of time.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate your time and enjoyed having you on the show. We are out of time. This is it. Oh, no, I never got to tell you about our video called Terry's Call. A homosexual hated Christians until he called in. So, hey, come on out Sunday to Denver Bible Church. See the passion with us Sunday afternoon. And for now, this is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.
Do right.